Amen. So keep praying for the kids. Actually, I think that we need to develop a series called Beyond Extreme, where you can help these children. They make a tremendous impact at Extreme. God touches them powerfully. But we need to look beyond that to help them keep growing. And so over to you, buddy. You got it. Good. Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you this morning. And I too say to those online, welcome. Stick with us. I've got a message I think that's going to work in your heart and life that will really help you in your serving and knowing God. And what a special day it is. We live in very interesting times. In fact, incredible times. Incredibly good and incredibly bad. Now, let me just give you some examples. Can I get a little bit more fallback? It just sounds a bit dull up here. Incredible times. In the United States, there are 100 million people who go to church on any given Sunday, and those churches don't believe what we believe. In other words, it's what's called deconstruction of the Bible, deconstruction of theology. They do not believe in the prophetic word. And at this time, and in this end of time period that we live in, prophecy is so powerful. They don't believe in the book of Revelation. They don't believe in what Jesus said would happen at the end time. Well, if you don't believe in the end time, you're not going to be prepared for what God wants to bring. And so it's very important that we are flowing with the Spirit of God and that we will do that in this church. So that's affecting the people in the US, 100 million Christians who go to church and they're not hearing what I believe to be the truth. Then the second thing is, and there's a lot of things I could share with you, the second thing is that the government of the US, which at the moment is controlled by the Democrats, and so they control the House, but they also, while they don't control the Senate, the Vice President gets to have the casting vote. So there's an equal vote on a particular bill. Vice President Harris comes in, she votes for it, and it goes through. We are really hoping that the November elections will change that, that the Senate will fall to the Republicans, and I'm not here to make political statements, but I want to say, I believe the Democrats in the United States are very dangerous people, and all of the legislation they're putting through is leading up to the end times, leading up to the Antichrist. And listen to this. They are preparing a bill which will give control to the central bank for digital currency in the US. That means the dollar bill, the US dollar bill, will no longer exist. All cash will be done away with. It will just be. Can you imagine the control the government will have over you? They don't like you? You say something they don't like? Well, they just cut off your funding. Or block it in some area, or just allow you a little bit of funding to buy food, but you can't buy anything else. So this is the part of the incredible end time we face. But the other side of the incredibly good things is that God is moving. Spirit of God is moving. And I want to encourage you to be really involved with that. And what I'm sharing with you this morning, I hope you can find your place to move forward with God so that you can be a part of what God is doing. That's my heart. That's the heart of this church. We believe people should be knowing and serving and loving God and being part of what His project is in these last days. All right, now let me just work on some other things here. I call this Beyond the Bondage of Limitation, but I really think I should call it Beyond Salvation. So if you just ignore that title and take Beyond Salvation as the title that I want to use this morning, because I believe that's where we're going. We've been doing a Beyond series, and this is part of that. And the subtitle is How to Fulfill Your Calling. And let me state right up front, everybody is called. Don't say it's only for Pastor Kane, and that's why he's become a pastor. Everybody is called, and I'll show that to you in a minute. Let's start in Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 to 26. New Living Translation. The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born of God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman and she is our mother. And you and I are born to freedom in God because of that. So some of you know the story, some of you may not know it, but Abraham was married to Sarah, and she was a beautiful woman, and they couldn't have children. And in fact, Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born. But because God had made a promise to him that he would have a son, he took the fleshly line, and his wife said to him, look, take my handmaid, and that's what they did in those days, take my handmaid and have a child through her. And he did. And so we got Ishmael. And that's the beginning of the Arab race. And without criticizing Arabs, you know there's great conflict between that and the Israelis, the true sons of God, if you like. So God had set that, and he used this as an example between freedom and bondage. Law, which brought bondage. You can't be in bondage to something unless you know what it is. In other words, if you've got a child and they do something and they break something, you can't then discipline them if you never said to them not to touch that or to be careful in this area here, because that would be unfair. They didn't know that that was the rule. And so they didn't break a rule because they didn't know there was a rule. But when God brought the law and he gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai, he brought down the law on the people, the Ten Commandments, and there was a lot of other laws, of course, that the Jews added to that as well. But they stated that these are the laws, and if you break these laws, you're in sin. Nobody could keep the law. There's not only Jesus kept the law. He was perfect. Everybody broke the law, even if it was only a little law, a little white lie, still broke the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And so God wants you and his people to experience freedom, not by the works of the law, which are of the flesh, but by the Spirit we have the new covenant God has given. That's why the Bible says that instead of having our laws written on stone, we have them written in our heart, because the Holy Spirit indwells us when we become born again. And so we know what's right in God. We can walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Okay? And that is part of the great new covenant that God has given. Now let's look at a scripture in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. That is why the Bible says, they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. We evidence the DNA relationship we have with God when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we walk in that. And that's what God intends for us, and that's what we should do. So when men are not walking in the Spirit, they move into the flesh, and this brings forth legalism, man-made rules, religion, which leads to bondage. And we don't want to live there, and I don't want this church to live there. I'm going to share something with you now, which is really important. Do you know how to train fleas? You all know what a flea is, don't you? If you don't, get yourself a dog. You'll find out what fleas are. They used to train fleas. They used to have what's called a flea circus. Now, fleas are such tiny things. How could you see a flea circus? And they trained them to ride little bikes and to jump over things and do all. I know we don't have it in our day and age. But you know how they train fleas? They put them in a bottle and they put the lid on. Now, the flea is capable of jumping higher than that lid. They're amazing creatures. If we could jump like a flea, we'd be jumping over 100-metre buildings. But they put the lid on the bottle and the flea jumps and it bangs itself on the lid. And it does that just a few times, and then that flea will never jump higher than that lid. again. And you can take the lid off the top, they will never jump out of the bottle because they've been trained. And you see, that's what limitations do to us. They bind us and they stop us from being able to be what God calls us to be, to jump out of the bottle. And so I'm going to just talk to you about limitations for a moment. And the first one is woke limitations. We live in a world where socialism promotes a woke society, W-O-K-E. What does that simply mean? I think the old term used to be political correctness, but that seems to have gone. We're talking about being woke. And to be woke is you must believe in solar, you must believe in wind farms, you must believe that coal is bad and we shouldn't dig it out of the ground, that you shouldn't eat any meat, that you should, you know, and I'm going, you should believe in also, you can be anything you want, you can identify as a male or a female, you can identify as neither. I filled in a form the other day and it said, you can identify as a male or female, or you don't want to identify as anything. And then I'm reading about there's a girl who's identifying as a cat. And that has to be respected. See, under the woke understanding, you've got to respect people. Now, I'm going to respect people irregardless and love them. But that doesn't mean I have to accept what they believe. So I think I'm going to identify as a lamppost so I can shed light on people and help them grow out there. So, folks, socialism, well, I'm going to say this. Don't be a woke socialist. Be a woke Christian. In other words, believe what God says, live what God says, share what God says, and that will make God happy and it'll make you happy. So let's talk about some more expectations. You know, we can talk about the work of the flesh. That brings a bondage. In John 10:10, Jesus said that the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, and he's trying to influence your mind. In the end times, it says God gave them over to strong delusion. You've got to ask, the sexualization of young children, how can parents believe in that? And yet parents support it. We're talking five-year-olds. Only just discovering whether they're a boy or a girl. And they ask them, what do you want to be, a boy or a girl? You were born a boy, but you can be a girl. That's how crazy things are going. And parents are buying into that. And you have to say, why would they? It's because delusion comes. They wouldn't believe the truth and God gave them over to strong delusion. That's what's happening in our society. That's the thing that's coming against us. We have to be careful, as a school particularly, that we don't really nail to the mast everything we believe in, because what will happen is we'll be attacked. And then the government, which is in the hands of the woke socialists, will say, well, we're not going to fund you because you don't believe in all of these things that we believe in. And that's the challenges we face in the future. Standing up for what we believe and then facing it. I mean, the social media backlash in the community. I cannot believe what some people believe. It's just crazy. They're crazy. Okay, bondage of expectations. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. That's what I want. That's what you want. Hey, listen, I may end up in trouble, but I will not be a woke pastor. In the sense, I believe in preaching the truth. People don't, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not here to make you comfortable. I want you to be blessed. I want the presence of God on your lives. But I'm not going to tell you all the good feely stuff that's out there, because that won't help you. I need to teach you and train you and impart to you the truths of the things of God so that you can walk in them. Will it be a challenge? It will be. People will separate their company from you. People will speak against you. People will attack you on media, social media. If you don't believe me, just go and have a look. The stuff that's happening out there, it's crazy, just crazy. But we're going to hold fast the truth. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, okay? Let's just talk about some expectations. Parents to children. We have expectations for our children. We want our children to be better than we are. We want them to do better. We want them to be more successful. That's just the nature of being a parent. But we can put expectations on our children that are unreasonable. We can say, you're going to go to university, when their skills lie in a different area. They're tremendous with their hands. They may be good at art. They may be good at design. They may be good at building things. But we say, you're going to go to university and be a doctor. That's an unreasonable expectation that we place upon them. And they may well go and do that. There was a guy, there's actually a doctor in town. His parents wanted him to be an engineer. He went off, he studied engineering and hated it. He passed, but he hated it. Then he went back and did medicine. So he was a long time at university, but now he's a successful doctor in Mackay. And so this is where parents, I got to encourage you, be careful of your expectations on your children. Make the right expectations, Christian expectations. Parents, it's my belief if children live in your home, you have the right to say to them, as a family, we go to church. And you're free to move out of this house anytime you please. Obviously, if they have to be 16 to do that. But if you don't put expectations on them, then they won't fulfill it. They'll just drift on and you say, you can make the choice whether you come to church or not. Well, you see, the problem there is that they probably won't come to church. But there's a discipline in coming here. There's a spirit of God that hovers over this place in a special way on a Sunday morning. That's why I encourage people to be here. I've said to parents, you won't make your kids come to church, but why do you make them clean their teeth? Why don't you give them the choice whether they'll clean their teeth or not? Well, you and I both know the answer to that. So, folks, good expectations on your kids. Don't put unreasonable expectations on them, because you help them to grow. Help them to grow in Christian things. Have an expectation that they'll memorise scripture. Hear the verses. When you sit down at night to have dinner, pray, say grace. And then immediately following dinner, before we wash up, we're just going to have a quick word of prayer. It doesn't have to be a long word of prayer. It can be a quick word of prayer. Jack, you're going to hate me. Jack's dad said, when we sat around the table and prayed, Jack always went to sleep. Mind you, I've been with his dad. He does pray long, so I understand that could happen. So have an expectation. If you wonder why your kids are straying, maybe look at your expectation of your children. What are you teaching them? What are you imparting to their hearts? What are you building within them? Are you building truth and hope and love? Or are you just saying, well, you can be this and you can be that, and you direct them in areas away from the things of God? Bring them to God. I encourage you to do that because it's worth it. You want to see them in heaven. If I got to heaven and my daughter wasn't there, I'd just be very upset. And I don't want that for your kids. Okay, I won't prolong that. Husband and wife, what are your expectations? I do premarital counselling before I marry people. And one of the things I talk about is expectations. Because sometimes guys go into marriage thinking, she'll be just like my mum. She'll pick up all my clothes. She'll do everything for me. She'll just be wonderful. She'll kiss my little scratch when I fall over, put a Band-Aid on it. And I always say this, listen, mate, you're not marrying your mother. You're marrying a wife. Young guys, hear me? And the same for the girls. Some will say, my expectation, he'd be just like my dad. He'll look after me. He'll spoil me. He'll give me lots of money. I'll be extremely happy. And I'm saying, no, you're not marrying your dad. You are marrying the man of your dreams. And just get your expectations in right order. Okay, are we there? I'll move on. Peer pressure. Whether you're young or old, there's a bondage in peer pressure. In what we do, there needs to be an encouragement of individuality, but a respect for personal expression, so that we don't put people under peer pressure. There's some things I don't like, but that doesn't mean they're wrong. And I can't come and say, you got to do what I like in that. Hear me? I grew a beard for a long time. Those of you who've been in this church for a number of years know I had a beard. And then it got grey and Denise said, that's gone. So I met her expectation and that beard was gone. But I don't come to Pastor Kane and say, beards are out, Kane. They're old fashioned. You've got to shave yours off. It doesn't matter whether I like his beard or not. In fact, I think he's got a good beard. He's got a good beard. But I can't put my expectation on there. However, he grows it down to his waist. We'll be having a talk. I know you want to be like Jesus, but you can't, you know, grow your hair long like that either. Okay. What about the expectations you put on yourself? Well, how do you live? Do you put yourself under tremendous pressure with your expectations? A lot of people do. They try to achieve more than they have the time to do. They fuss about the small stuff in life. Don't live there. Don't put yourself under such a weight. You want an expectation of appearance. I see a lot of people, and not here so much, but people get their Botox injections. Or they do other things with their bodies. Look, I'm not knocking that. And ladies, I love the fact you wear makeup or jewellery or, and dress nicely. That's wonderful. But don't live under a pressure to be like that. Just because, the most gorgeous person is like that, you don't have to be that. Look to character. If you're going to put yourself under pressure, make it character. Look to the great character that's around and say, I want to be like that. I want to have a good character. It's much more important than the externals, the appearance, clothing or just physical appearance or your academic achievements, anything like that. Listen, I went to a school where academic achievement was so essential and sporting achievement was so essential that I had to wrestle with the fact, and it took me years to get past it, that I wasn't good enough. That I hadn't achieved. And I was in, the upper percentage, but I never achieved the level that was up there, which made you somebody special. You are special to God. He doesn't want you to be a sporting champion. He doesn't want you to be anything but you, because he loves you like you are. You are special to him. Please accept that. And don't put expressions of bondage on yourself through limitation of how you see yourself. Okay? Christian bondage. You can be bondage to ministers' expectation, to other Christians, to spirituality, short-term games. You look at people and you say, look how spiritual they are. I want to be like that. Hey, look at Jesus. Don't look at people. Set your eyes on Jesus, not upon man. And be what God's called you to be. Okay, I need to keep going. The expectations create pressure. Pressure of itself's not wrong. We need to do it sometimes to develop our best abilities. But when it's unreasonable, it causes to be pushed out of shape by pressure. Most people judge others by their actions and themselves by their intentions. But God made us unique. We're different. Fingerprints are different. Apple, the makers of iPhone, iPads, all that sort of, is developing a technology that people's handprints, which are very, very significant, more than fingerprints, handprints, because this machine they're developing can see the veins, everything in your hand, and it's so unique. They're saying facial recognition has limitations, but this will be the game changer, and that will, of course, be the move forward into how we pay and what we do. I don't use cash anymore. I just use my phone or my watch to pay by, and it's so convenient, so easy. But that's the direction things are going. But let me really take you where I want to take you this morning in talking about the ability of calling, what God calls you to do. And many people do not feel their calling in life in God because they don't believe in themselves. But God wants you to believe in yourself. He wants you to know that he thinks you have it. That not only are you special and unique, but he died for you. And because of that, he values you tremendously. But there's something beyond that. So I said we call this beyond salvation. Many people get to the point of salvation where they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they don't go beyond that. They think that's an end point in itself, but it's not. It's only the beginning of our journey in the ways of God. And let me talk about the callings of God. So there's a calling to salvation. The Spirit of God is bringing a witness to people's heart of the truth of Jesus Christ, convicting them of sin, but showing them a way forward where they can be delivered from that sin. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you feeling bad about yourself in depression because you've got sin. He says, you are a sinner, you can feel bad, but I've got a way out for you. So the calling to salvation is taken by the Holy Spirit and brought further. He convicts and brings people into the kingdom. But there's then a calling to ministry. And let me make this very clear to you. You might say, oh, minister, okay, that's people who lead churches. That's the pastors. That's the priests. That's the reverends. But let me tell you this. The Bible says we're all ministers. Everyone. You are a minister. If you're a born-again Christian, you're a minister as far in God's sight, because the word ministry really means service. It doesn't mean anything else. It's not something high and falutin. It's something that says, you are God's, and he wants you to serve his kingdom. So you're called to be saved. You're called to minister. Then the third thing is you're called to obedience. That's a heart that says, God, yes. I don't know what you have for me, but yes. I don't know what I can achieve, but yes, because you and me will achieve far more than I can achieve on my own. And then there's a calling to faith. That is believing God. When he says you can, you don't say I can't. You say, Lord, I'm in myself I can't, but in you I can. That's the realm of faith. And so, and then of course there's the calling to specific function. And there's many people who think, just because I'm this or I'm that. Listen, people might say, I'm just a gardener. What's the calling? Well, I love gardens and I love flowers, not in vases. I love them on the bushes. But so I appreciate gardeners. Years ago, I was in a shopping centre in Brisbane, Toombul, I think it was, and I was sitting on a bench waiting for Denise, which was sort of my hobby. Well, I had to make a hobby out of it, just sort of was going on. Moving on. I'm sitting there on this bench and this guy, who was an immigrant to Australia, I think he came from somewhere in Asia, I didn't find out where, and he's got those, you remember they used to have those little tins on a stick and they'd have a broom, and he was cleaning up the rubbish that people was leaving around. And he came over to me and he began to tell me about Jesus. And I thought, this is amazing. This man is a cleaner in this shopping centre, and he knows his calling, which is to be a cleaner, but his life is to share Jesus. And he was sharing Jesus with me. Now, I don't know if that man ever saw somebody come to Christ. I'm hoping and praying that he did. But isn't that amazing? See, whatever your calling is, God has placed you in a particular place. Teacher, doctor, lawyer, gardener, cleaner, maintenance man, doesn't matter. The callings of God, the Bible says, are without repentance. And that means God doesn't call and say, oh, I'm sorry, I put you in that position. He has a purpose. He knows what's in your life, and he's setting you forward to release the gifts that are in you so that you are blessed as the kingdom of God is established and goes forward. So the callings of God, it's my belief every Christian is called to serve God, to know God, to walk with God, to release their gifts so that God is glorified. And let me just, I'm going to close out this morning, but let me say this, that we need the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to inspire us, to help us release our callings, to walk in the things that God has set before us in this life. Because God wants us to rejoice with him in eternity about the things we did on the earth here. And if we just say, well, I was just, you know, I just called to be something simple over here. Well, let me say this to you. If you do that with faithfulness, you've done the same thing as I've done. I've just sought to serve God and serve him with what I had, which I don't think was very much, but trusting God to take what I bring and multiply it by his Holy Spirit. And so I'm saying to you, rise in your calling. Don't be a flea in a jar. It's time to kick the lid, kick it off the bottle, and rise out of the jar and be all that God has called you to be, and to fulfill what God has put in your life and the calling he has put there. You might dig down a mine, you might drive a truck, you might do the electrics somewhere, whatever. That's what God has set you in. That's your calling. Don't say, oh, well, when I get to church on Sunday, I'll be holy. Be holy where you are. Let the love of God just come out of you there. So people round about you are affected by what's in your spirit will touch their spirit. Someone is waiting on the other side of your obedience to God's call to serve him in the ministry that he's placed you in. And I want to say time is of the essence. I said we live in incredibly good times because God is moving, but incredibly bad times because a lot of people have been ensnared by the powers of darkness. Thank God the Bible says where darkness abounds, grace much more abounds. That is the grace of God, the love of God that touches people. So time is of the essence because the devil knows his time is short. He's trying to take as many people away from God as he can. And you're their hope. God doesn't send angels to preach the gospel. He sends you. You. You've got to take it on board and make it happen. Just please believe this. You're a son or daughter of God. And you need to believe in yourself. That's what stops most people not fulfilling their calling. There's a scripture that I didn't start with, but it's found in Matthew 20, verse 16, I think. It says this, many are called, but few are chosen. And the choosing is not, in a sense, God's choice. The choosing is the choice of the person who is called. Because there's a scripture in Revelation that says that those who came with Jesus when he came back were called, chosen, and faithful. And the way that we are responding to the calling is by being faithful to God and saying, I believe. And God says, you're a chosen person. And so I'm saying to you this morning, I want you to be chosen. I want you to go forward in the calling of God. And so I'm going to give an altar call this morning because I believe it's important. You've got to make a stand for God and say, I hear you, Lord. You have a calling on my life. Doesn't matter what my profession is. Doesn't matter what pays for my house and my food. But I have a calling. Because the times we live in require your calling to come forth. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I just pray this morning, may the Spirit of God work in the hearts of people. Stir their hearts to know that they are called. I rebuke the power of limitation. I come against the lid that has been on their life to stop them going further in God. I come against the belief system that says, I'm not good enough. I can't. And I pray, Lord, their hearts will be stirred to say, I can and I will because God's in it. So I release upon this church today the power of God to bring forth the calling in the lives of people that they might walk forward in you and fulfill what you put in their heart. I break the yoke of fear. Lord, your word says, the fear of man brings a snare. That's another bondage that people walk in. I release them from that so that we might be, every one of us, myself included, all that we can be for the kingdom of God and for the purposes of your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So I'm just going to ask you, say, count on me. I'm moving into my calling. Will you come and join me? You come and stand here this morning. You come and say, this is my belief that I will walk with God in this way. Why don't you all stand? Then come on. Those of you who want to stand with me, come. Come. Thank you, Lord. So just sort of spread out a little bit, because the next thing I'm going to ask is, those of you who didn't come, will you come and stand behind these people who have come and say, we're going to support their calling. We believe in their calling. Will you believe that God is going to use them because they made a stand for God? So if you didn't want to come out here to be a part of this, will you come and be a part of supporting others? Will you come and do that for me? Come on, church, we've got to be a church. We may be individuals, but Jesus said we're part of the body of Christ, and all parts of the body need to be functional. Keep the lights up, please. Thank you, Lord. Okay, can we pray together this morning? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Would you just say this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that I am born again, that I know you and you know me, and we have such a relationship. I bring before you this morning my life. Not only did I dedicate it to you at the time of my conversion, but I commit it to you now, and I am committed to your calling in my life. And I ask that you bring forth that calling, that you release it in my life, that the gifts that I have will be made available for your kingdom, that you might be glorified and that people might know Jesus Christ. For this is the day and the age where people need to know you. When darkness abounds across the earth, when evil is being displayed in such a manner, I thank you, Lord, today that you love me and that you use me. No matter how old I am, no matter how young I am, no matter how I feel about myself, I release that today. Lord, I just command a release from bondage. No longer are we fleas in the jar. We are born again, believers full of the power of the Holy Ghost to walk in your name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just release it upon this church. I release the giftings. I release the callings. I release the enablings. I release the Spirit of God to lead us into the things that we need to walk in. We might be truly the people of God and serve Him. Amen and amen. Now, just before you sit down, if you came out to make that stand, then I want you to say to someone before you go back to your seat, I am committed to the calling on my life and I will fulfill it by God's grace. Will you say that for me? You've got to make that commitment. Otherwise, we just drift off and it's another day. Okay? Bless you. Bless you.